And now it's my privilege to introduce to you Al Merchan. Al Merchan has been a friend to ETC for many years. This isn't his first conference. He has a diverse and balanced background between his experience in teaching marketing at several universities and his practical experience in marketing research and advertising in St. Louis and Boston. Al began consulting projects in 1987 with initial clients from a variety of industries. However, it was travel that captivated him. This led to his founding Myriad, and for the past 30 years, Myriad has specialized exclusively in the travel industry with a full range of services for clients including cruise lines, airlines, and travel companies. He is the president and CEO of Myriad. Myriad recently became a part of MMGY Global. Myriad now represents more international tourist offices than any other company in the United States. Al's efforts are focused on creating strategic solutions to client challenges. He coordinates travel industry partnerships and he oversees Myriad's growth. Always the teacher, Al also conducts marketing presentations throughout the world, and we're fortunate today to welcome him to our conference, and now I'll give you the podium.
Thank you,
Al.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. Such a wide room. It's great. If I look like I'm watching a tennis match, please excuse me. So we're going to talk a little about a bunch of things today. I think the term nowadays is smash up. So we've got, I think Mara told me, just take my 50-minute presentation and do it in 20. So if I start to sound like the fast-talking salesperson, please excuse me from that side. As you heard, we're specialists in travel marketing, and we do marketing for a whole range of companies, from tour operators, airlines, cruise lines. And as mentioned, we do a lot on the global scale, so we represent 17 different tourist boards from around the world, which allows us to then work with the airlines and the tour companies and everybody else within that. And we can talk about that later. So let's jump into today's presentation. And it's all about marketing budgets that aren't always stretchable. I've never met anybody who says, I have too much money in my marketing plan. But creativity has no limits. And the challenge here is, how do you take what limits you have and stretch it out? And we're going to give some examples that aren't necessarily for tour operators or for schools. They might be a little beyond the borders of thinking, but that's what pushes us a little bit. So the presentation will not sell you anything. We're not going to answer all your questions, and we're not going to make you the ultimate marketing guru when you walk out of the room. We will share a bit of research with you. We'll show you that budgets are not everything, and hopefully we'll at least challenge you to be a little more creative in your thinking and the way you approach things. Now, this whole idea of stretching your thinking came from actually something physical. I have to pass on one of my favorite sayings. A guy told me he got his first job in tourism, and his boss brought him in on the first day, and he sat him down, and he said, I'm going to teach you the most important thing about tourism. So this guy's spine goes straight, and he says, what is it? And he says, if you work in tourism, chances are you're never going to become a millionaire. But every once in a while, you'll live like one. And it's a great privilege we have. So the first time I got to travel internationally for a client, they bought me a business class seat. Fantastic. This is the life. I'll never turn right again on a plane. So then I have to take my first business trip, and I realize what I was paying, $700 for LA to London, was $7,000 for business class. And the reality is, all I want to do is sleep. So I came up with my compromise, which is to buy three seats. So I buy the row, all right? It's a whole lot less money. Best of all, you get all three meals. Chicken, fish, or pasta, yes. Of course, when I did it, I announced to my company, I'm saving them money, and they said, yeah, Al, you think you're so smart, you're so unorganized, you're going to get to the plane, and they're going to go, yeah, you're in 42F, 37C. Anyway, good thing I have a travel agent. But there's innovation in here, because 3 years ago, Air New Zealand stole my idea and introduced the Sky Couch. I don't know if you've seen this now. There's a leg rest that comes up. They put down a duvet, extra pillows, seat belt extension. And they sell the seats, okay? Now, they say a couple can stretch out. Well, you gotta be bloody models to stretch out for two people like this. If there's one of you, fantastic. China Air now has the same thing and they call it a family couch. And it's to Taiwan and then onward. And where it works is a family of four with small kids buy six seats instead of four, father and son on one set, mother and daughter on the other, fantastic. So it's that whole thing of how do we think outside what we're used to and look at things differently. So the first thing, because we talked about this yesterday, is to rethink your competition. Who is your competition? Now you might say, well, it's the people in this room. That's why I've come to this conference. Not necessarily, because you're thinking it from your view, not the consumer's view. So who else could be your competition? All those tourist companies that are out there, all the tour companies. Are they your competition? Yes. I was at the USTOA conference, and I was talking to some of these guys, the Trafalgas, the Colettes, and all these guys, and one of they're bragging, right? One of them says, oh, well, we have a 72% repeat. And somebody else says, oh, well, we're at 69, but we're doing it. Talco's, well, we're at 82, et cetera, et cetera. And then somebody says, you know, we have a problem here. We all think we have great loyalty. The reality is it's Bob and Mary. And Bob and Mary took a Trafalgar, and 6 months later they took a Colette, and 6 months later they took a Talc, and then they came back to a Trafalgar, and then they came back, and we think we have loyalty. We've done focus groups, and they decide which trip to take on the departure date. Well, we really want to go to Ireland, and we looked at these dates, but we can't leave until Monday, so we're taking this tour. So as much as you think you've got this loyalty, think again. So you've got this extra layer of competition. Let's go one step further. This is your real competition. The Airbnbs, the Expedias. Airbnb is offering day tours now, okay? And if you say, oh, my client's not Airbnb, guess what? Your client's Airbnb. That's for sure. They have more rooms worldwide than Hilton now. Okay? And people are utilizing them. But Hilton's still your competition, and Carnival is your competition. Carnival Corporation, with all their ships and all their brands, have 45% of all ships. They know how to market. And let's not forget the big gorilla in the room, Google. In the last bit of research, Google outpaced friends and family for finding destinations to travel. And if you saw, they just announced yesterday, from one click, they're going to start putting airline fares as soon as you put two city pairs on a Google search. And you'll be able to be two clicks away from booking. That's your competition. And as we talk about affinity markets, I'm going to throw one more layer on. You know, you can pick up your Porsche in Europe, and they'll design your whole trip through Europe for you. Now, there's an affinity market. Whole Foods have played with whole journeys, and the rumor is they're going to come back. Apple's starting to do seminars, and the rumor is they'll do it overseas. If you want a loyalty, there it is. So now the car I drive every day that I touch three or four times a day, I have an affinity to that. Where I go grocery shopping two, three times a week, and they take half my paycheck, I have an affinity to that. Apple, I touch every day, and the clothes I wear, Tommy Bahama is going to start opening up resorts. This is your immediate competition, and then it's everything else where people spend and how they spend their money. So it's one thing to look and say, how much business am I getting from the clients? The more important thing is, how much business am I losing from those same clients? How do I do it? So we're going to, as this smash up, as I said, talk about a whole bunch of ideas as quickly as I can get them across. One is do your research, okay? Don't sit around in that boardroom and brainstorm, and this is a great tour, without doing some research. And we've done research from tour operators. I don't want to get down to the granular part of it, because of course you need to ask what these clients want. Well, nobody's going to Malaysia, so we should be going to Malaysia. Well, ask. Ask. They love to talk. Short surveys quite often. They love it. Remember, almost 7 out of 10 customers leave you because they perceive you're indifferent to them. So the more you can interact with them, the better you are, the more you listen to them. So just on a granular level, we decided for one of our tour operators to do the brochures, and we couldn't figure out which cover to do and how to do it. So we went and did it. SurveyMonkey, cheap as chips. You don't need anybody professional for this. You guys can figure it out. If you need somebody to design the questionnaire, Heather's here somewhere. You can hire Heather to do it. Okay? We asked, what do you want? Do you want people? Are these the covers you like? What not? Do you want to see local people? Do you want to see photos of animals? Do you want to see this? Do you want to see that? Get a good feel. People love to give your opinion, their opinion. Don't give their opinion to them. Too many wholesalers and tour operators we see, and they look at their consumers and say, well, if we want your opinion, we'll give it to you. Okay? Listen to them. Listen to what they have. And reward them. Give everybody 10% off their next tour for completing a survey. You're not giving up 10%. You're making 90%. Okay? And the affinity you want starts to grow because it's in a conversation. You know, I love the comment, the best way to do social marketing is to be social. It's not a monologue, it's a dialogue. Look inside your market for layers. I'm this big proponent that nowadays marketing is not digging deep, it's layers. Nobody goes to a place for one reason anymore. They are two to three. And when we define our markets, we have to define them better than we have. I heard somebody the other day say, no, we're looking for a niche, we're gonna look at millennials. Okay, you can't say 60 million people a niche in the same sentence. You gotta get much more defined. Now, children. Sometimes they're better heard. The children influence a trip more than you would imagine they do. Almost half play an active role in planning vacations. It's not the parents telling, it's the kids telling the parents. How many parents out there? You listen, right? Sometimes you don't have a choice. Over half of parents are willing to take their kids out of school if they think it's a worthwhile trip. They say if it's a worthwhile trip, they also mean if they can get a heavy discount. Okay? Prime examples. Cruise lines are offering kids for free. Well, they're putting them on the floor in the cabin. It really doesn't cost them much, but some extra soda and food. But it makes a deal. We did this presentation in Hawaii not too long ago, and one of the things they've done is they changed their kids' club. Used to be from Memorial Day to Labor Day, and now it's year-round because they know there's something more. This is one of my favorite, WestVirginiaTravelForKids.com. They did their own website. So if your kids come and say, hey, I saw this thing about the pyramids, I'd really like to do it, you're gonna start looking at Egypt as an option. So sometimes the best way to the parents is through the kids, not the other way along. And don't even get me started about grandparents. But seniors. Now, I'm sure you all have, from this industry, a lot of seniors. But here's the part that's drilling down. See this couple? You know what's the surprise about the couple? They're not married. That's probably why they're smiling so much. Senior singles are the fastest growing, and you have them on your trip. Sometimes you don't recognize it because it's two widows traveling together in the same room, but they're seniors, okay? 45% of Americans age 65 are divorced, separated, or widowed. If that's not a subsection, I don't know what is. We were working with a tour operator, I had some fun. I went on some senior singles websites. And I put Mr. Traveler down, ready to travel, 67, ba 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 ba. I had to shut it down in a month. 2 to 3 times a day I was getting pictures and of people, okay? Both genders too, okay? So there's a market there. We're talking to a tour operator now who's looking at some of the trips, the itineraries. They're not the best itineraries, and they're saying, well, maybe we don't. We do a discount. We make it a seniors trip, whatever. When we think about it, our industry is one of the worst, most discriminatory industries there is because we base everything on two people, not one. We literally go, oh, there's just one of you? All right? Nobody said, why don't we price it for singles and make a discount for couples? Now the cat's out of the bag, it's hard to go back, but if you look, there's a lot of tour operators who are saying this. And the cruise lines, who we have to look at, are now doing singles cabins. Okay, so they're recognizing it and they're putting their money where their mouth is. We need to do the same. Now there's some companies that have always looked for seniors, but I don't know if you can see the little thing on the bottom, it says, how to be a good roommate while you're traveling. So they're in a non-direct way saying, yeah, we'll hook you up with a roommate. Look at this, Elder Expeditions, for adventure-oriented. So once again, look for those layers, not just we're looking at seniors. The more you can define, the better off it is. Solo female travelers is going to be continue to be one of the fastest growing areas, and there's a lot of way to recognize this and respect this and put tours all around this. Another big element that started out a number of years ago that's really continuing to grow is celebration travel. People, it was the excuse to travel. When the economy was bad, oh, I got a good reason. It's my birthday party. It's a wedding celebration. It's an anniversary. I can travel. So we have this idea that we can travel now because it's a celebration. And you have to give a little credit to Disney. Now, I bring the Disney example up because when the economy was bad and the theme parks weren't doing good, they said, okay, if it's your birthday, you can come to Disney World or Disneyland for free. All you got to do is come to the website and register your name and your birthday. Aha! So they have a database of 7 million people and their bloody birthdays. Seriously, how hard was that to do? Now, the interesting part is Disney didn't look at, oh, well, we're not getting $100 of revenue, because on average, every person who came on their birthday brought 4.5 people with them. Okay? So in reality, extrapolate that, they only really gave a 20% discount to the people who came, and that didn't talk about the food that they bought and all the other stuff. So it's looking beyond that. How do you do it? Even I'm based in LA. Free ride to Catalina on your birthday. Who's going to do that on their own? Right? So really, if there's two people, they just gave a 50% discount. Even the hotel on Catalina said, well, if you're getting a free ride, we'll give you a free drink. All right? Tour operators have talked and said, what if we gave everybody a free day on their birthday? Well, let's see, think about this. If it's a 14-day trip, I only have to give 1/14th off for their birthday. That's only really about 7%. If a couple comes, it's only 3.5% discount, and I make a big splash in the market. How much did that cost me?
Nothing.
So there's always a good reason to celebrate. There's always a good excuse. I've seen, once again, the cruise line say, well, listen, it's your 40th wedding anniversary, and you go $30,000 on one big party for a night that lasts about 3 hours, so you can take your kids and your grandkids. And remember, when you take those other kids, there's more exposure for you. So once again, lay your niche. Don't look at one niche. Don't look at millennials or look at seniors. Put as many layers as you can, because not only is it easier to market, but it's easier to message. Is it bird watching? Can you lay out? Don't just go after bird watchers. Give me 4 or 5 descriptors that go with that. Are they single women bird watchers from a different area? What is it? Is it the LGBT community? Is it, can I layer this? Can I do this and this and this? The more I can get specific, the wellness community is a $500 billion business, okay? Think about it. People don't go to someplace anytime anymore for one reason. They want 2 to 3 to 4 reasons. So the more you can define your audience, the more you can layer onto it, the more effective you have. And this is one of my favorites, pet friendly. Weston now has a whole program about pet friendly. And one of our clients, this is hysterical, Cunard, there's a kennel on the ship. And I sat there and said, this is just brilliant. We need to market this more. Because not only does it say you have a kennel, it's just something philosophically, you position yourself well. And they said, yeah, not this year, Al. Why not? Well, we're pretty much sold out through almost 2020 on the kennel. So now you start to see, if I can layer this, the more I can get in. And sometimes niches travel together, multi-generational travel. But once again, we're all going to the grandparents and we're not going to the kids. And the other thing is, keep in mind that the grandkids are not always 7 or 8. They're 20, 21, the parents are 40, 45, the seniors are 70, 80. And so every time you sell to those seniors and you get those two generations, you get exposure to 2 more generations of travelers. And those travelers are starting to look for group travel and different ways of travel. So that's important. 1 out of 3 travelers are grandparents. So there's the avenue, and you know they're spending their kids' inheritance. And 40% of them, of the grandparents, took at least 1 trip with their grandchildren in the last 12 months. So now, how is it, or who are you educating? Are you educating the grandparents, or are you educating the kids? What's the part? And don't be shy about it, say it. Intergenerational trips, this is what we're doing. Art, culture, and history, a Berlin adventure with your grandchild. I used to have an old professor who said, don't beat around the bush, stamp on it, okay? Look for partners wherever you can. It's not about sharing advertising money. It's about sharing audiences. I'm going to shift a little. I got a few shifts today. Consumer experience. I want to push this because we forget about this and we think the product does it. By 2020, consumer experience will overtake price and product as the key brand differentiator. I bet all of you say, we are really good to our clients. Tell me how. Because people will pay more money if you really are that good. So I have a couple quick examples that I love. One's a great hotel in Cape Town called the Cape Grace, one of my favorites, and I travel down there a lot. And for 2 years, I didn't go. And I showed up once, and I go, and it was about 10 o'clock at night, and I got there, and I walk into the desk, and the woman says, "Oh, Mr. Merchant, welcome back." I'm thinking, oh, that's pretty impressive. How the hell did she do that? Am I supposed to remember her? Okay. Get to my room and I think, it's 10:30, I'm the last person. I was just the last file. Have breakfast with the GM the next morning and I go, you know, when I came in and checked in last night, she was fantastic. She actually knew my name. I'm pretty sure I was the last one. No. We had 3 more groups after you. Well, how did they know? He says, come here. We go to the front where the valet is. When the taxi comes in, the valet guy takes the luggage and he walks right into the hotel and takes the luggage and he says, it's Al Merchant. They look it up, Mr. Merchant, welcome back. How much did that cost them? Nothing. And I've told this story 100 times, and you'll think about it every time you go into a hotel to check in. Here's one that's near and dear to my heart. Humans only need 1/1,000th of a second to register an aroma. And yet we think about that all day. So DoubleTree, what comes to mind? Those damn chocolate chip cookies, right? It's instantaneous, we think about it. And I'm convinced when we're booking and we're looking at 2 to 3 hotels and the price is about the same, all of a sudden, we're smelling that cookie and we're booking DoubleTree. So what's your sweet spot? I know an African operator, every time somebody leaves, they send a little piece of artwork to every person who came through their tours, okay? And it stays with that person. What's your little sweet spot for that? Now, some inspiration, just some fun ideas here. This is a quick story. Two guys were opening a restaurant in New York, and they were out drinking, trying to brainstorm, and they saw a guy propose, and he was so nervous when he proposed, his hand shook, and he dropped the ring. And the one guy said to the other, well, there's a $10,000 martini. And they looked at each other, and they went, that's it. And they opened their restaurant with a $10,000 martini, okay? And they got, what did they get? The jewelry company to get in, so they got their database. Every month was a different, a $5,000 bourbon, et cetera, et cetera. Airbnb, we saw an idea they did a few years ago. They hooked up with IKEA. They made an IKEA and Airbnb, and you could win a night in IKEA. So we thought, how do we take that to the next step? What do we do? Well, one of our clients, we were lucky enough to represent Papua New Guinea. So you can now rent a village in Papua New Guinea on Airbnb. Yeah. Will anybody do it? No. But the coverage we got in Travel and Leisure and Wired and all these other publications really worked. Peer power, quick way to get clients quickly. 30% more pressure on getting new clients. We know a gay tour operator. They do a cruise every year. They have 60, 70 people on the cruise. Fantastic. The first night, everybody's having great fun. The second night, they say, we're already planning next year. We're either going to go to the Caribbean, the Mediterranean, or somewhere else. Here's the information. On Thursday, you'll vote. By Thursday, LR all having great fun. And Thursday night, they vote. And Friday, they say, we're going to go to the Med. Who wants to sign up? 10% discount. They get 80% of their bookings for the next tour before they get off the ship, all right? So it's just some quick, easy thinking. Staying in touch. I mean, we know this. Recommendations are huge. Couple quick ones. Galapagos. We worked with a tour operator. As soon as somebody went to the Galapagos, 2 weeks later, we sent them something. Now, you would say, wait, what's the repeat on the Galapagos? 0.0001%? Yeah, but we took pictures while they were in Galapagos, and we sent them the pictures. What did they do? They posted them. Who saw it? All their friends, which are our prime target audience. Okay? Didn't cost us much money at all. And in every photo embedded was the URL. It costs 6 times more money to get a new client than to keep an existing one. So here's another tour operator, one of my favorites. As soon as people returned, they called every client and said, tell us about your trip. What did you like? What didn't you like? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then at the end, they said, do you have any friends who would like a trip like this? Can you give us their names and their email addresses? Well, I'm not sure I'd be comfortable doing that. We'll give you 10% off for anybody who takes one of our trips. Oh, okay, well, there's Fred Nethel and Ricky and Lucy and everybody else. And it works, and you keep it. What they didn't realize is what was happening then is small groups developed because they thought, oh, wait a minute, there's other couples who would like this or other people who would like, and they started getting small groups. How do you keep clients forever? Now, this is a personal one. This was a marketing one. This is a personal one. But it's so good. So I'm from Missouri originally, and we used to go to this place in the Lake of the Ozarks called Kirkwood Lodge. I mean, nani pine little cabins. All right, square dancing every night. All right, you get the idea. So when you get there, the first thing they do is they take a Polaroid. For the young people in the audience, that's a picture that used to come out of the camera. And they'd post it on a board. And they'd say, Bob and Mary from St. Louis, Bob, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so from Kansas City, this and that. So you get to know everybody very quickly. It was great, great fun, et cetera, et cetera. At the end of the trip, we go and we pay our bill. Everybody's happy. And I'm thinking, where's the picture? Skip, the square dance caller and the owner didn't give us the picture. I mean, the marketing guru I am, I'm thinking, missed opportunity. Until Christmas. And we all got a Christmas card. And you open it up, and there's the photo. Hope your holiday season's as much fun as your holiday was at Kirkwood Lodge. And I'm thinking, oh, Skip's pretty smart. No, January, Skip showed his genius. Because Skip, we all got a letter from Skip saying, last year you came August 27th, and you had a great time there. If you want to come and see the people you met last year on this trip, this year's trip will be August 21st, make sure you register now, and if you do and prepay, you'll get a 10% discount. So I'm thinking, that's hot, that's smart. So of course, my family suckers in for this for 7 years in a row. No question, because we're putting the dates down, we're calling him and saying, when do we get to go? And I go to Skip the next time and I say, how successful, you're a guru, what do you run? He goes, we run 96% every year. For 6 months, we're open. At the end of the 6 months, we do all the letters, we do all the photos, we all do everything. It's all set to mail. We mail it out. We get the results. By March, we're pretty much sold out for the year. So with that, I wish I could have more time and show you fun videos, but I think my time, do I have one more minute or I'm done? I'm done, I'm past, I'm in trouble. I'll show you all later, but thank you for your time. And thank you.
Thank you. Sure. Oh, my goodness.
Sorry.
Oh, my. Yes, let's have you back. And for those of you who do want to stay in this room, Al is going to be partaking in a panel entitled Escalating Competition, Marketplace Realities. So maybe the conversations can continue if you do that. But thank you for those very inspiring words. And thanks again for being such a friend to ETC. We also want to thank our sponsors for today, Go Ahead Tours in UK Countryside. And you know what else we were going to ask you to do, and that is to fill out the evaluation that you have at the table. And an ETC staff will be picking those up. And there's one other announcement. There was a cybersecurity, a hot topic session, was canceled this afternoon. I think the presenter's on the beach. No, I think the presenter is ill. No. Anyway, we had to cancel that one. Thank you for coming, and Al, thanks again. It's wonderful.
So Al is going to be here with Heather Hardwick, another bold speaker, in just 10 minutes. We're moderating a session then with author, one of the Stanford travel experts, as well as the head of Insider Expeditions. So that's right here in a few minutes.